Phil Rocknat is covering the tour of the France for us in 2020. He's a hell of a human being, the Filthy Phil. He's back again. Filth, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
Now, there's been a bit happening overnight, and I want to get the big story of overnight. Egan Bernal withdrew from the race. Now, he, for those playing at home, he's the defending tour champion. They don't often withdraw from the race. What's happened to Egan?
He's run out of power, that would be fair to say.
Really?
He's completely shot. He's done his back, I believe. He's got a back injury as well. He's defending champion, but here's the thing. He's 23 years old. He's going to come back to the tour for another decade. So, you know, you've got to know when to hold him and when to fold him. And he's just gone full Kenny Rogers and decided that that's it. And he's not going to be involved anymore. What it does do, though, is it breaks the stranglehold that the Ineos and Sky team has had on this race since 2012. And to be fair to you, I'm not unhappy with that because it was a little bit of Groundhog Day every time we watched the tour. One of those boys would get in front. It would be Wiggins, or it would be Thomas, or it would be Froome. They'd get in front, the Ineos or Sky team would mow down the rest of the peloton, and the tour would be finished. New day, new team, and Bernal is not there anymore, but what we are seeing is a bit more of a wide-open race, and I reckon people are pretty comfortable where that sits, given that the amount of money that they still have, and they'll be back to fight another day.
Now that's interesting. That becomes a bit Premier League-ish, where the big players, the ones that spend all the cash, always win, and that becomes quite mundane from a from an event perspective. So this opens it up and creates a bit more interest, do you think?
Yeah, they have got a ton of cash, and they don't mind throwing it around. In fact, Richie Porte, our man, is heading there next year to go back to that team. So they do understand the value of riding. They understand the value of paying them. And for one team, as you said, it is Premier League-ish. And there's been all sorts of talk the last few years about getting salary caps in and things like that, but we haven't seen that emerge just yet. So obviously the more money you've got, the better quality of rider you've got. Even the fact that they have Froome and Geraint Thomas, both Tour de France winners, on their roster who aren't even at the race, you'd say they're going pretty well. But it has been a little bit of a failure for that team. And Brad Wiggins has been piling onto them on British television, and him and Dave Brailsford, who's the team principal, they've been having a few sparring matches in the media, which has been fun to watch as well. Wiggins is very opinionated and did say, if this was football, he'd be out of a job, mate.
Right. Wow. Okay. Bit happening and in the commentary booth, which we like. You mentioned Richie Porte there, Phil. He had a big night, or a really hard night last night. At the grind pretty hard to get through that summit finish last night.
Yeah, it was huge, wasn't it? The finish into Grenoble yesterday was massive. Richie Porte sits fourth now, and he is ascending. So he was sixth before the start of the stage. He's now fourth. He's three minutes down on Primoz Roglic, who I think looks pretty comfortable. Our second man, our Pogačar, who's in second place, looks pretty comfortable. The man he's going to try and pick off is Lopez, who won last night, and Richie Porte's going to try and pick him off for the podium. That would be, I reckon, their plan. So he's a minute and a half down on that podium position, which is, in cycling, guys, as we know, a fairly sizable margin. But we've still got another mountain stage to go, individual time trial to go. And as you know, 1 minute you can be feeling great, and the next minute you can have the world on your shoulders and you can be going backwards like Egan Bernal had yesterday. So it's still an open event, and it's still an open event for him to get a podium.
Well, we do love Aussies on the podium. We're keen to see Richie do that. But I do like when someone with a very sexy name, Phil, takes out a stage. And Miguel Angel Lopez took out the stage last night. What's his go?
Look, again, he's with the Astana team. They're another very strong unit. These guys just can climb really well. And they've battled their way through the crosswind. And that's the one stage that Richie Porte got unhooked in that massive crosswind in the first week of the tour. Richie Porte missed the break, and then he lost his minute and a half or more than that. And one stage can unhook you completely, and that's what happened to Richie Porte. Lopez didn't. He got in that front group. Roglic in that front group. And, you know, in racing, those sorts of decisions that you make or where you sit in the peloton is very, very important. So everyone wants to be at the front, but you've got to have the team get you there. You've got to have the strength. I can remember talking to Simon Gerrans one day, the great Simon Gerrans, who said, try to break away from the Tour de France. He once tried to break away he paddled his heart out to the front of the bunch and goes, well, I'm cooked. I can't go any further. But he couldn't try and break away. There's a very, very strong group at the front who allows things to happen. And Richie Porte, unfortunately, just missed, which means he lost that minute and a half, which, you know, comes back to haunt him now.
Phil, it's obviously a different tour for a number of reasons this year, but also not having that dominant rider like we've had so often in the past, you know, 15 or 20 years, does it make it better viewing? Does it make it less, obviously makes it less predictable, but even with the racing, does it make it, more absorbing, more interesting?
I think it does. I think if you go into that final week and you're still unsure about what's happening, you know, it's a game that the riders play. You know, they come to the Tour de France and they want to be getting stronger as the 3 weeks go. So their form is a little bit of the form line they bring in. Because of COVID this year, the races, we've seen only a few. We really don't understand how well they're actually going. So, you know, they're only now finding their legs, some of these guys, and they get stronger as the 3 weeks go on. And someone like Richie Porte's getting stronger. Not having that full-on domination, although Team Jumbo-Visma are doing a very nice job of, you know, of dominating that race. They are pretty prevalent. But even then, you know, we're still waiting for the cracks. And I think you're right. I think the race needs that uncertainty. I think when you have a dominant team like we've had Team Ineos or Sky for the last 8 years, it is kind of Groundhog Day. They just get up and they destroy everyone on every climb. And it's like, oh, here we go again, here we go again. And then we've seen that in previous tours as well, when the multiple winners have these huge teams that just crush everyone. I mean, we want to see a little bit of action. You want to see that you don't know what's going to happen at the start of a stage. And that's what we had last night. No one really could predict outside of two or three guys. And then, you know, Haas man Lopez, who comes up and wins, no one really saw that happening because it was still unfolding in the last probably 4 or 5 kilometres of that last climb. So it is exciting. That makes for better racing anyway for what we're seeing at the moment.
Right, well, we like summit finishes, and there's another one coming our way, which is nice, and it's not just Lopez, it's Miguel Angel Lopez. That's how it is, Phil.
It's a beautiful thing, man. He's a beautiful man doing beautiful things on 2 wheels.
As are you. Have you heard of Kids in the Kitchen?
Yes.